Hello, and welcome to Nothing Ever Happens in Canada. But we know this is simply not true. This is a Canadian podcast about the myths, legends, and just good old stories Canada has to tell. I'm Canadian Girl, your crew leader. And if you're here today, that means you're a part of our exclusive UFO crew. Welcome to our third adventure. I'm so happy to have you here on the crew so we can discover so much more about what's really going on in our skies, waters, and our fields. Our third adventure takes us to Duncan, BC, where we meet a man named Granger Taylor, who was known in the neighborhood to be a little strange, but extremely gifted when it came to all things mechanical. He began to explore the mechanical world outside our universe, looking at UFOs and trying to determine just how they fly. In fact, some say he just may have figured that out, as he disappeared one stormy night, leaving only a note stating he was off to board a spaceship. Join me now, UFO crew, as we go searching for answers on one of Vancouver Island's many mysteries. Trigger warning. This tale does deal with ideas of mental illness and suicide. If these events are triggering to you, please skip this voyage and embark on another adventure. That being said, you know me. I will only say what needs to be, and I will not go into anything in great detail. Our story begins back in 1948. It's Thursday, October the 7th, in the little fishing and logging town of Duncan, BC, that can be found on Vancouver Island, when Granger Taylor is born. He lived with his mother and stepfather, as his real father passed away when he was 4 years old in a tragic drowning accident at the family's cabin. He was said to be different from most and ended up dropping out of school in grade 8. He was more interested in being a mechanic and tinkering with any engine he could than schoolwork. His parents agreed as long as he got a job. Granger would soon begin to work as an apprentice with a family friend. This would not last long, as Granger would leave to start his own work, doing odd jobs as a mechanic and a welder repairing heavy machinery. At just 14 years old, he built a single-cylinder automobile, which was quickly put on exhibit at the Duncan Forest Museum. At 17 years old, he would rebuild a bulldozer to working order that many mechanics with more experience than Granger had already passed off as unrepairable. He was a remarkably talented mechanic before he was even 20 years old. In his early 20s in 1969, now a man, he stood 6 feet tall, 3 inches, and 240 pounds. He was known as a gentle giant. That same year, he would make a trail, plowing down over a mile and a half or 2.4 kilometers through a thick forest to recover an abandoned locomotive from the Great Depression era, which is sometime between 1929 and 1939. It had been left there to rot in the woods, and almost anything that could have been salvaged off of it had already been taken. The train is said to literally have roots growing through parts of the engine, frame, and more. The forest had basically claimed the train itself. When Granger came and ripped it back out of nature's grasp and dragged the broken and busted train back to his parents' house and into their backyard, which was affectionately becoming known as the Sleepy Hollow Museum by the locals. The yard was covered in overgrown tractors, cars, old engines and parts, a bulldozer, and now a train. Granger had found it all either at the dump or within the Cowichan Valley Forest. Granger would spend 2 years restoring the old train from the woods. He did such a great job, the province of BC in 1973 would purchase it. Today, it sits at the BC Forestry Discovery Center in Duncan, BC. Next, he would get his pilot license, and he bought a vintage Kitty Hawk's warplane, which is a single-engine, single-seat, all-metal fighter and ground attack aircraft. It is the one with the shark mouth painted on it. I will, of course, include links down below so you can see it. Granger spent 2 years again fixing up the warplane and sold it for $20,000. In today's money, that's about $92,000. Granger was starting to become well known for his work. He had made a career out of his hobby. Shortly after he sold the warplane, he became obsessed with a new type of aircraft, one that most knew barely anything about. Granger, using this mechanical talent, would attempt to figure out how UFOs worked. He began reading any book he could or article he could come across to gather knowledge of how they operated. Some say it truly became an obsession for him. In the later part of the 1970s, according to Granger's own stepdad, he would begin to build a UFO on his parents' property that still stands today. Granger spent over 6 months constructing the life-size replica craft. He used spare parts found in the woods or at the local dump. Two satellite dishes were welded together to create the main shell of the craft. He even had a couch inside along with a wood stove. He would sit and ponder, almost meditating for hours on how the mechanics of the UFO worked, reading eyewitness testimonies, and often falling asleep. He would claim to a good friend to have been contacted mentally by somebody from way past the Milky Way. He said he could never see the person, just hear them. It happened during one of his meditations in the UFO. He made this claim exactly 1 month before he disappeared. The days leading up to his disappearance, Granger was so caught up in his UFO world he began to tell anyone who would listen. The ladies at the local diner, the man who owns the general store, his family members and friends had all heard it. How he had been contacted and how he believed they flew using something to do with magnets, as that's what one of them had told him during one of his mental connections with them. Granger claimed he would ask the otherworldly beings how they powered their craft, and that was the answer they would always give him, but they could not tell him any more. He also claimed they had invited him on a trip to explore the galaxy, a trip he would soon be going on. He just had to wait for a very stormy night. His friends and family got so used to all his UFO talk, they got used to just laughing him off and thinking he had just had another crazy dream or something. A week before he disappeared, it said he went out for a night on the town. Now it's seen as almost a going away party, but no one realized it at the time. The last anyone had heard about his crazy UFO stories was that he was waiting on a location to be picked up to start his interstellar journey, and it would have to be on a very stormy night when no one was watching. He did tell his friends, when he does find out the location, he was already instructed not to tell anyone. The night before he disappeared, on November 28th, Granger would sit down with his stepfather and have a heart-to-heart, thanking the man for all he had done for him. Jim, his stepfather, had no idea that this would be their last conversation. His mother, Grace, was unfortunately out of town at the time on a vacation. This is something it said she has not forgiven herself, as she was not there when Granger left. Around 6 p.m. on Saturday, November the 29th in 1980, on a very stormy night, those ones the papers write about and claim it's the storm of the century, Granger Taylor would place a short note on his mother and father's bedroom door. It read, "Dear Mother and Father, I have gone away to walk aboard an alien spaceship. As a reoccurring dream assure me, a 42-month interstellar voyage to explore the vast universe then return. I am leaving behind all my possessions to you, as I will no longer require the use of any. Please use the instructions in my will as a guide to help. Love, Granger. He then walked out of the house, got in his pale blue 1972 Datsun pickup truck, and drove away, leaving the UFO he had built behind. He would make one last stop at Bob's Grill, the local restaurant, for dinner. He ate alone and left alone at 6:30 p.m., according to all reports. Granger, just 32 years old, would step out into the stormy night. Granger, or his truck, would never be seen again. He was not the only one in the area to be speaking of UFOs at the time. A local teenage girl named Lisa Nadal had seen a boomerang-like object in the sky that she claimed made a 90-degree turn straight up and headed towards the mountains. She had never seen anything like it before, she told the local paper at the time. So where did Granger go? Some say he was recruited by a secret agency to develop new machinery. He was also known to joke with his friends that he could disappear if he wanted to. All he would have to do is grow a beard and change his name. Some say the aliens blew up his truck, as it was a one-way trip and he was never coming back. Granger actually left two wills behind for his parents and his friends. In them, he crossed out the word deceased and changed it to departed. Corporal Mike Demchuk would check all of Granger's records, and after 4 years, there was no sign of him anywhere. He always admitted the most baffling part about the whole thing was that the truck had disappeared too. Granger's parents would keep their back door open the entire 42 months their son claimed he would be gone. Many years later, on May 29, 1984, a logger out in the bush on Mount Prevost would find a crater in the ground. After further investigation was done with police assistance, pieces of a vehicle embedded in the trees around the area were found, along with adult human bones. Though no DNA testing was done at the time, the remains were believed to be that of Granger Taylor's. Adding to the police's belief, his truck frame was found in the nearby area. Unfortunately, this spaceman may have not got as far as he wanted to, but he left everyone who knew him believing he had embarked on an interstellar journey, and that's a pretty amazing way to leave this earth if you have to. I'm Canadian Girl. Thank you so much, UFO crew, for joining me on this adventure. I can't wait to meet you back here next month to see what you've all found next.